You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Joining us all the way from Sydney, she's just put out her latest EP, Bud and Denny, and it is a certified banger. It's very vulnerable and it's very holistic of this artist. It is Jamaica Moana who is on the line. Good morning to you, Jamaica. How are we?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing, all right. As I mentioned before, a little bit sick. Praying that it doesn't evolve into anything worse, but we're all right over here. I think it's been, 4 months since we last talked. We last talked in April with the release of Tug of War. Obviously, the EP's come out since then, quite recently. But what else has been a highlight since then?
I think two highlights that come to mind during the rollout would be performing at a prestigious venue over here in Sydney called Phoenix Central Park. I did a full solo show there with all of my my band and my team. And then also I did Bars of Steel on Triple J as well and since last talking to you. So there's been a couple things that have been happening separate to the EP that have aligned. But yeah, just lots of busy mode at the moment, but very happy and grateful. It's all moving quite fast, which is good. Yeah,
And that's what you want. You've gathered a lot of momentum, and now it's paying its dividends. You know.
Yes. Yeah. For sure. Absolutely.
Now, before we get into talking about the EP, I want to touch on your looks because there's so much originality and personality to them. My favorite two are the ones from the Keep It Real cover, where you've got that kind of brown white angular chest piece in the patu, and then I also love the second one where you're on a beach in this gorgeous furry dark brown cowl with a gigantic train. How'd you get into that level of fashion?
For me, it was just growing up. From Papakura, from Liverpool and Campbelltown in Sydney, not having much, but having a big imagination. Every towel to me was a wig, every towel was a dress, growing up. So I can make something out of nothing in my mind. And especially when it comes to now having the network and the connections and the resources, I still have that same mind as I did living in the hood when I was younger. I still do right now out here in the West. So I think not allowing money, opportunities, and resources to define your imagination of how you want to look and your brand and all of that. That's what I mean about fashion. It just comes from this buzzy creative mind. Before I fall asleep, I'm like, oh, tomorrow I want to be thrown off the harbor bridge wearing green feathers. I don't know. It's just buzzy, but I like to to honor my visions by trying to make them come to fruition. Some of them are quite hard, as you were saying, the Artur series, the collaboration with Patu Tyrell for the Bud and Denny single artworks.
Yes.
Both are many different visions and a dream that just came to me. And it was a lot to be able to have that to come to fruition, but with a beautiful team and people that believed in that result, we made that happen. So briefly, it's just whatever I imagine, no matter where I am in this world, I will make it happen. Yeah, and that when you're saying the beach and that big train, all of that, that's actually my father's blanket of his bed. Yeah, and he used to wear this when he was still here. He used to proudly wear that blanket, and I thought, I had a vision of this big furry dress, and I go, actually, let's just wear my dad's blanket.
Oh, that's so lovely.
Yeah, I was like, let me wear it in a way because it was representing Keep It Real, the song about him. I like, let's actually think, that's an exclusive as well that I've told. People were like, where did you get that dress? I'm like, I'll tell you one day, but here on Radio 1 Dunedin, it's my dad's blanket.
We love you for it. We love you for that so much.
Thank you.
I think this speaks to two prominent qualities about your artistry, and that is it's family-oriented, and not in the sense of, like, family-friendly, in the sense of, like, it's geared towards your whānau, and also there's a hunger there as well. You're just speaking about your resourcefulness and growing up and having to just be very crafty. That's definitely your style, it seems.
Absolutely, definitely. I think I try and utilize that to the best, and for many forms, it's very easy. I always say I can make a shoestring into a gown somehow.
Yeah. Hell yes. I think it's great that you're keeping that sort of vibe close to the chest and not letting, as you're saying, money, resources, connections change that too much. It's good to be able to try new stuff, obviously, but you still want to kind of be at the forefront of it all and keep keep real to yourself.
Absolutely. Well, just like the first track after my dad, it's keeping it real. You know, that's my motto. That's how we are. And no matter how, you know, how big the opportunities or the glitz and the glam, like I'm, yeah, you can't be any too big in my culture or my family. You know, you got to remember who you are and, yeah, keep your boots down low if you need.
Wise words. Now, the EP itself is honouring its namesake, Bud and Denny, your parents. Did you get your love of hip-hop from them?
I got... I didn't get my love from hip-hop. But I definitely got, you know, I got the strength, the beauty, the mana, the resilience, everything that I needed from parents is what I got. But my musical influence more so comes from, my hip hop influence more so comes from my brothers. Growing up and hearing all of them, I grew up with five older brothers that were blasting West Coast rappers when I was a toddler. So to me, the only two sounds as a child, that I remember was like Kyle, Bob Marley, and then All Eyes on Me, Tupac.
Yeah,
there was like no in between. You like actually in my fade, that was it. You'd go in the kitchen, Is This Love Is playing. You go to my brother's room, it's Hit 'Em Up.
Crap.
And I was just used to that. So that's where the inspiration for hip hop, one of them, comes from.
Yeah. True. Shout out having older brothers. I'm the baby of the family, and it's such a
You're the portiki.
Yeah, yeah. You inherit so much cool culture that you'd never find otherwise just from having older brothers. Because for some reason, like, brothers had great taste in the 90s, it turns out, for whatever reason.
I love it. I think I don't even realize, because some of my brothers aren't, like, heavy on social media and all on the blogs and stuff, but I don't think they realize how influential they were to my hip-hop career now.
Yeah, massive shout out to brothers. And there's three distinct sounds on this new EP. You've got some like light, Fano-centric and soft R&B, bombastic 808 stuff, and of course some hard-hitting ballroom hip-hop. What vibe did you find most challenging creatively?
I think for me, track two, My Denny, that was the last song to come out of the pipeline for all of this. I worked on about 120 demos for this EP over 3 years. It's crazy, right? Like, Tug of War was 8 of those demos that I saw one.
Yeah.
But for me, My Denny was the most difficult because I pretty much started with Keep It Real, which was the amazing start to this. And I knew that track two was going to be about Denny, about my mother. But kept working on all of these, like, just, as I said, 100 plus demos, that when I came back to having to close the chapter, kind of like a bookshelf, you know, a bookend. I had the top bookend from Keep It Real, but My Denny, I needed to be able to sew in every little loose end and thread to make sure that this story made sense. Anybody that was reading this Pudak book, I wanted them to be able to be like, no, this is, I get it. You know, I get the story, I get what's trying to be portrayed. So My Denny took a while. It didn't mean that it was, the genre was difficult for me. It was just, I wanted to make it truly make sense. And it was really in real time as well. While we're doing mixing and mastering at the end, that's when we just recently did a haka for my granddad's 90th birthday up in Hokianga.
Shout out.
And I wanted that. Shout out to him. Absolutely. And we wanted to, we added, when we were, after we did the haka, we added that's those sounds from his birthday event into My Denny. So yeah, it was a big entailing to get into, but very happy and couldn't be happier with how it was presented.
I was going to mention My Denny immediately after that question because it's got your sibling, Swane. Is that how you say the name?
San,
there you go. It's got San Moana, who hops on for an incredibly fast-paced passage about the importance of family. As you mentioned before, you've also got those samples from your granddad's 90th. When did it occur to you to kind of recruit your brother onto this track?
Oh, I think everybody that I wanted to work with for this EP, they needed to have my back, not just as an artist, but all... You know, I needed people, and what better person to feature on a track about my mother than my brother?
Yes.
So too. And as I said, all actually pretty much all of my brothers out of the five, they all dabbled into rap at some point while I was a toddler, and San definitely did as well. So to have him on, it was just a beautiful final puzzle piece to complete that mahi, and really, really grateful for him and his offering to the track. It's that wire is very special to me. And if you actually look at the lyrics will be coming out soon for the EP, but if you look at the lyrics for his verse, it actually spells out I love you in the capital letters.
In like an acrostic way.
Absolutely. It's because it starts with so that's like a little sneak peek in that as well, because you say he's saying like incredible, like it's all the alliteration that's all up in there. So yeah, shout out to San, I'm so proud of it. And we actually have I'm announcing it this week. He's performing it with me for my EP launch in Sydney in 2 weeks, I think, on September 6th. I've got the entire EP. I love this exclusives coming just for you. We've got the entire EP featured guest in real life. So it's going to be amazing. Sydney's gonna have a bit of a storm happening.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna be a lot of energy coming. That's so exciting.
Hopefully.
Super exciting. I can't really get into some of the hip hop science here. There's some great bars all throughout this record, like rug me like the wrong way, like you got the chafe is stellar. As well as that, I see it's true when you reach for the skies, when you can almost see paradise, if it don't work, put it in rice. Now those bars are from Given to My Fears, and much like the flow versatility of Tug of War, here your rhyming centers on different vowels. Are you going E, A, U, or I, in that order? Now what was your intention to do that and cover all those bases, or did your rhyming scheme just sort of turn out that way on that track?
I will say, specifically for Given to My Fears, I will say that Given to My Fears is the best lyrics that I've ever written. Like, lyrically, the best song that I've ever written. And I will say that it was intentional, the way that I wanted to cover bases. For Tug of War, I switched it up every so often, many, many different flows. But for Given to My Fears, I wanted to stick with the one flow, but just to have so much depth and value in the lyrics. Like, I love that you've referenced all of these lyrics, like, especially when I'm like, if it don't work, then just put it on rice.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Like, it's like when life fucks up, just you better squash yourself up and get in that little bucket of rice, babe, and just hope that you dry up by the morning. But I appreciate that. Rub me the wrong way, like you got the chafe. And then straight after that, I think one of the best lines of the song is when I go, I'll keep on bolting like I am Usain, or that Jamaica just winning the race. That for me is just being Usain Bolt from Jamaica.
Mm.
He obviously was winning the race, of course. Like, oh, that's Jamaica just winning the race. Like, I love, I wanted to put so much depth into that. And to answer your question, yes, the kind of like the all of the bars and stuff, it was intentional and made for this, because before this EP, I never put this much depth and meaning into all of my lyrics. So for this, I wanted to be like, actually, for this track, let's change it up and let's give it the love that it needs. Given to My Fears actually had me singing on it by myself for the chorus, and I thought it sounded amazing. But then after all of the singers came in, they were like, no, we need to add a bit more, babe. They were like, oh, this sounds great, but it could be amazing.
Yeah, I had a little bit of humble pie.
Yeah, a little bit, a lot.
Oh man, not only is this, you know, is this EP very braggadocious, but there's also so much vulnerability and transformation and talks about trauma on the CP, especially on that song Given to My Fears. Now, I heard you say on Radioactive that this EP has already transformed the lives of some queer Māori kids who have messaged you saying that they feel represented and like it's cool to be themselves, and that is beautiful, that's fantastic. Aside from that experience, how has the release of this EP transformed you?
Oh, I think I love this question. I think it has allowed me to put a flag in the sand, and the sand being like the metaphoric industry. Mm. It's allowed me to put a flag in the sand at a time where I know that it's my time. Like, it's really just solidified to me that I can do whatever I feel is like buzzy to me or not obtainable. Through me, it can happen. Mm. You know, I think Yeah, I didn't realize. I've been self-reflecting a lot that, like, the day that you sort of embrace yourself to go into a career and lead into it, you don't see years later of the result, you know? So when I'm actually sitting and putting this out, the babies, when I'm just sitting and putting this out, yeah, I'm just like at a crossroads where I'm truly grateful. I feel like it's transformed me in an incredibly strong, stronger person to realize. Yeah, I think. Sorry, I love to.
No.
To answer this question solid, I would just say that it's allowed me to be as strong as I am as a personal person, as a Māori-hearty person. Mm. This EP has transformed me into that strength in the industry, which is very hard to feel. Mm. You know, to be a... And it doesn't even matter that I'm queer. It doesn't matter that I'm Māori. To be an artist
in general, in itself, it's hard.
That is hard.
Yes.
You know, and especially here in Sydney, that's a joke. Mm. You know, it's a joke to try and make it somebody that looks like me. I've had the laughs for 5 years. You know, I've had people laughing in my face. So to answer that question truly is that I've felt it be like, oh, no, you're here. You're ready. You never left, but a bitch still here. You know, that's really the what it gives. But, yeah, that took a minute to answer that.
No, I appreciate that. Very, very thoughtful response there. I think... you know, at the end of the day, a lot of people can be their worst, their own worst enemies, but you are your own ally. You're your best ally, I think is the takeaway.
I try. You know, I've still got that enemy. I'm still.
Oh, everyone very does. Normal, the inner saboteur, you know.
The inner saboteur, but they both coexist on my shoulders, and I'm like, yeah, shut up.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, you need to be a bit more positive, babe.
Babes. Oh, man. Again, listening to your chat on Radioactive, and I mean, you mentioned this before, you had 120 demos for this EP. And even before this EP, you had another one ready to go a few years ago, but you felt like that wasn't necessarily the version of you you wanted to put out there as your debut kind of maiden voyage. I recently saw an interview with Tyler, the Creator, where he talked about his most recent album rollout for his record, Don't Tap the Glass, and he didn't go with any fanfare. He had he just kind of dropped it spontaneously. And he went on to say that sometimes you can just release stuff without a huge rollout. Do you think you're challenged to do that for yourself in the future and maybe cool it on the perfectionism?
I think definitely. I'm around, I wanted to just put Virgo extravagant, like too much. Yes. I wanted to just do everything and more for this first one.
Yes, of course.
That anything next afterwards, it's my dog trying to get in the door. Pause for one.
fair enough. We all got dogs.
I already know. But it's, I think it allows me to give myself time to just maybe put out an EP one day that does take under a time frame of 6 months, you know, and not have to put that through. I realize that the rollout is actually the most fun part about it once you have all of that mahi ready. So I would love to be able to do it in a whole different light to this. Maybe because I was thinking maybe this is setting the tone of how I'm going to exist in the industry, to have like always like a striking image, a striking this, a meaning, and blah blah blah. But yeah,
Nice. Well, I love that. I love when artists challenge themselves. And I mean, you've already challenged yourself so hard putting this thing out. So congratulations. You are coming to Aotearoa on November 29th for The Other's Way, which I assume is going to be up in Auckland.
Yes.
Yeah,
Other's Way, that's on Karangahape Road on the 29th of November.
Yes, November, yes. So that's very, very exciting. Have you got any other dates planned for Aotearoa or just Other's Way?
Yes, so we've got a couple dates planned on the days leading up. So that'll be down the line that we're announcing. I'm just giving all the goods.
Fair enough. Please.
But yes, there will be things getting announced more and more, which I'm so, so excited about. We are prepping a great show for Other's Way and beyond. So whatever, if you can get down and come in to see a Jamaica Moana show, I promise it'll be worth it.
I reckon it would be too. I want to thank you so much for your time and talking to me about this new EP, Bud and Denny. It's a beautiful EP. You've really excelled yourself. And thank you for your time.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you, Zach, always.
Of course. We'll have to link up again in the future, talk about future stuff. And maybe if you come to Dunedin, I'll buy you a bloody drink.
Oh, please do. I will take that.
Of course. Thank you, Jamaica. Take care.
Take care. Kakite.
Kakite. Alrighty, folks. That was Jamaica Moana. We're talking to her about her most recent EP, Bud and Denny, which is out now wherever you listen to your music. The namesake of the EP is Jamaica's parents, Bud and Denny. It is incredibly beautiful, vulnerable, phonocentric listen, and Jamaica is such a promising hip-hop act. I mean, they're tried and true already. They've been in the booth for so long. As she mentioned before, 120 demos, and scaling that down into 6 songs for the EP is nuts. I can't wait to listen to some of that stuff that's in the vault. Here is My Denny from Jamaica Moana and San Moana. We will have an edition of Hot Off the Press at 10:30 in around 10 minutes' time. I'll see you then. Mama's love. Mama's love.
Get stressed, you say push on through it. I can't handle it, then you say jammy, what you doing? Go get your shit and pack it up, then come to hooking.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.